This is Rainmaker FM, the Digital Marketing Podcast Network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmakerplatform.com. Hi, and welcome to the PR is Dead podcast. I'm Doyle Albee. I'm your host for this biweekly podcast where we talk about public relations in the digital age. Last time we talked a great deal about how to become an expert with the media and how you can pitch yourself into stories, get quotes, do contributed content, those types of things. And today I would like to actually turn that around 180 degrees and give you some tips if you'd like to make sure that you can take some time and never be in the media. I shouldn't say never, but there's a pretty good chance that if you do a lot of these things, you're going to irritate reporters over and over again. And so let me also just reiterate, when I say reporter in this podcast, I mean a reporter, a blogger, an editor, a television assignment desk person. It runs the gamut. I just don't want to list that all out every time. This is kind of media relations, so we'll just call them reporters for the sake of this podcast. So one of the best ways that you can really irritate a reporter is to not do your homework. Just start picking up the phone, look online, get a directory of every reporter you can find that covers just about anything that you think might be interesting, and call them up and start pitching them. They really like that a lot. Of course, I'm being facetious here. The first thing you want to do is make sure that you've got the right outlet. If you're an expert at something and you want to start locally and get some coverage locally, you want to make sure you call local publications, local outlets, local radio and television stations. Many of my clients ask me to do things, to reach out to local markets where they don't have a presence. And at the end of the day, if you're writing business, for example, for the Denver Post, if you're going to cover a company, it's got to be a trend that affects Denver. It's got to be a location that affects Denver. It's got to be you're moving to Denver. There's got to be a Denver angle to it. So make sure that you start with making sure that you're talking to the right media outlet in the first place. And then second, are you talking to the right reporter at that outlet? Just because somebody covers business doesn't mean they cover your particular vertical niche. Make sure that person covers manufacturing or technology or whatever it is that you're trying to pitch. I recently got an email from a friend of mine at the Wall Street Journal who had received a pitch and then a follow-up email pitch. And she sent it to me actually because she found it embarrassing for this person. It wasn't even close. It had nothing to do with the beat that this person writes. Pitching a story that just doesn't make any sense for someone who covers the activities of CFOs at a national outlet like the Wall Street Journal. And then the pitch came a second time. And this time it had mistakes, conflicting information. It was different from the last pitch as far as dates and times and some really pertinent details. So remember, when you want to pitch a reporter and you want to put yourself out there as an expert or offer some contributed content, make sure that you don't give them a reason to say no right in your first email. I've seen it happen too many times, and too often it's just a result of not doing your homework. The second way you can really irritate the reporter you're trying to get through to is to nag them. It's sad, but it's true. Reporters will typically not call you back or email you back even with a simple no thank you. That's not a criticism of reporters. It's not part of their job. It's their job to cover what they want to cover and not get back to you. After you build up a relationship with a reporter over time, often you'll get a quick note back saying, hey, this doesn't work for me right now, or can't cover this today, whatever the story might be. But understand that reporters get dozens, if not hundreds, of inquiries every single day. So it's important for you to remember that yours isn't the only one there. So don't nag them. Follow-up is appropriate. Hey, I wanted to make sure you got this email. I've attached it again. If you've got some interest, please let me know. It's okay to do a follow-up call. It is okay to just pick up the phone and call. It's not okay to call a half a dozen or a dozen times, nor is it appropriate to call a whole bunch of reporters in the same publication if you're not getting an answer. If you're confident you're talking to the right reporter, let it go. No response means no. And just like in a lot of other things in life, no means no. So it's time to move along to something else. Not every pitch is going to work. I had a reporter friend tell me once about actually taking a call, and it was from a company that was on her beat. So it was somebody that she wanted to cover. Got a story pitch idea, accepted it, said, that's great, would love to work with you on it, hung up the phone. And then in this particular newsroom, it was an open newsroom, so there weren't even cubicle walls. And she heard the same person call the reporter next to her and make the same pitch. So she called the person back and said, why are you doing this? And she said, well, I'm pitching that person on this angle and you're doing a separate angle. You know, the reporter was pretty taken aback that you would think we would cover the same story from two reporters in the same publication with two different angles. But sometimes people just get overenthusiastic, and it's important not to nag. Make your pitch, do appropriate follow-up, and then move along. It's not going to get, you're not going to win the war or get coverage if you nag a reporter until they don't want to even see your number light up on the phone anymore. Another really great way to get on a reporter's bad side is not respecting or even trying to understand the demands of their job, to put it very simply. I've seen people call daily reporters during deadlines. So late afternoon, for example, if the reporter writes for a daily newspaper, chances are that's deadline time. And they're busy putting out their stories. They've already decided what they're going to write on for the day. So unless they've called you and specifically requested a call back, that's not a good time to call. You don't want to call a television reporter 30 minutes before airtime. They're busy putting the show together. So again, unless you, it's breaking news of some sort, and what we're talking about here typically is not, don't call and bother them during that time. You've got to respect their limitations and what they do. And once again, use the Google to try to figure that out. If there's a lot of great things written about different deadlines and different opportunities. Bloggers tend to write on a 24/7 deadline system, so they're just constantly busy. So that one's a little bit harder to guess, but while it tends to be a bad way to open what is essentially a sales call, is to say, is now a good time? It's okay to do that in this case. I do that all the time. I'll ask a reporter, I'd like to talk to you about this. Is now a good time? If they say no, what's a better time? And then call back and stick to that time and make sure that you do that. One of the other biggest mistakes that I see people make is to reach out to a reporter, and then the reporter likes the pitch. They might call back, leave a message, and then 3, 4, 5 days go by and no call back to the reporter. Reporters are very deadline-driven people. And because they work in deadline-driven industries. If you're a blogger, you want to have the information before your competition. If you write for a daily newspaper, you've got to get it in so it can go to print. It's really important when you do get a reporter interested in what it is that you're pitching that you get back to them and you meet their deadline. So, you know, another example is, let's say that you've come up with an idea for a contributed article. They love it. They say, can you get that to me? I need it Friday by noon. Calling them Friday at 11:30 and telling them you're just not going to have it to them, they're probably never going to count on you again. You've now left them with a hole in their publication, in their blog, whatever they're working on. And they were counting on you to fill that, and you didn't follow through. So if you want to make sure that you don't get any good coverage, be sure and not understand the deadlines and requirements of working for a news organization. The last way to really irritate a reporter that I'll talk to you about today is to be sure and ask to see a copy of the article before it goes to press, because that they really like that when that happens. And of course, I'm kidding. In fact, many, many print publications and often online publications as well have a policy that they will not do this. There are a couple of exceptions. I've had reporters send me snippets of articles to say, do I have this right? Typically when something's very, very technical, to make sure that they got a spec right or a statistic right. But at the end of the day, reporters are paid to do their job. And if they offer to allow you to review it and you wish to do so, you certainly may do that. Those rules are loosening to some degree. But if you're talking to typically even a daily newspaper in your hometown, they will not allow you to review the article before it goes in. And think about why that is. It's not as crazy as it sounds. Can you imagine trying to, let's say they quote four people and they let each one of them have a go at the article. They essentially now have five editors, their own editor and four other editors, because people won't just approve their quote. Typically, they'll want to say, well, you left out this part, and I'm not sure that that's quite the way I would say that, et cetera, et cetera. So a couple of things to think about. I record all interviews that I do, and I record them on a speakerphone. So I've got complete both sides of the conversation. That way, if I am misquoted in a very bad way, I've got something to fall back on. And let's really clarify that. To say that somebody didn't get me word for word, but they essentially got what I said, that's not a misquote. And you're not going to win any favors. And it's not even really appropriate to go back and say, you misquoted me, when it was a matter that I said something like, our sales were up 12% last quarter. And the quote was, our sales were increased 12% last quarter, for example. It's the right idea. It basically is what you said. And as they're taking notes, they might have little words off here and there. Don't worry about those kinds of things. If you are misquoted, it's not just slightly out of context, or let's say they got a figure wrong or they got a technical specification wrong. Absolutely contact the reporter. Don't be mad. Just call them back and say, hey, we need to talk about this. But do not ask to review the copy. One of my favorite stories of all time was I was in the offices of a publication that was in John C. Dvorak, who's a tech journalist and has been for many, many years, was the editor. And he did just a great interview with one of the engineers that worked at the company that I was with at the time. And the engineer, very matter-of-factly, at the end of the interview, pulled out his pad and his pencil, and he leaned into John C. Dvorak and said, when can I expect to review this before publication? And John Dvorak looked at me, and I said, I got this. Understand that John Dvorak is not only a veteran tech journalist and wouldn't go for anything like that. He also hosted for many, many years a tech show called Cranky Geeks. He's got a reputation in the industry for you know, just saying it like it is and being kind of cranky. He's great to work with and an excellent journalist, but certainly not the right person to make this mistake with. So he got up kindly and left us in the conference room. I explained the mistake. We moved forward. We got a great article. It was good. But boy, don't make that mistake. It's just not going to work. So finally, as I said, I'd like to leave you with a quote on the media each week. And so this one comes from one of my favorites, Bill Nye, the science guy, and he's referring to online media here. But his quote is, the information you get from social media is not a substitute for academic discipline at all. And I think if we close our eyes and think about a lot of Facebook posts we see and even some blogging out there, that's probably a pretty accurate quote from the science guy. So email me if you'd like, doyle.albee@gmail.com. You can hit me up on Twitter at @doylealbee. And if you like what you hear, I'd love it if you'd leave a review on iTunes or drop me a line and let me know what you'd like to hear more of. So until next time, I hope you get some great news. Thanks for listening.